I'm standing on a windy tarmac in Kotzebue, Alaska, a 3,000-person village 20 miles above the Arctic Circle on the Chukchi Sea. In front of me are two airplanes. One will soon dump me deep into the Alaskan Arctic, a place that's generally agreed to be one of the loneliest, most remote, and most hostile on Earth. I'm on edge. This impending voyage into the Arctic is one thing, but I'm also no fan of flying, particularly when it's in planes like these. Single-engine, 2- and 4-seater bushcraft. Picture empty Campbell's soup cans with wings. Donnie Vincent senses my nerves. He's a backcountry bow hunter and documentary filmmaker on this expedition with me. He sidles up to my shoulder, leans in, and lowers his voice. Most of the pilots up here are whiskey-swilling cowboy mountain men, the type of guys who don't think twice about getting into a bar fight, he says over the freezing gusts. But just so you know, I booked the absolute best pilot I could. Brian is top gun. I nod thanks. I'm not telling you we're not going to crash and die, Donnie continues. That is a real risk, okay? But this guy is good. So the odds that we'll be in a plane crash are... My edginess amplifies into existential dread as I cut him off. Okay, I say. Got it. Commercial flying is incredibly safe. The statistics say you're infinitely more likely to die in a crash on the way to the airport than you are in the plane. But this rule does not apply to bush plane flights in Alaska. About 100 of these flights a year end in fire and brimstone, and the FAA recently released an unprecedented warning to Alaskan bush plane pilots after a spike in accidents. This year has been particularly bad. Fierce weather and thick fog and wildfire smoke have been messing with visibility. Donnie tells me that Brian has a colleague named Mike who recently crashed after misreading the weather. Mike was lucky enough to walk away, but the plane had to be rebuilt. Once Brian drops us in the Arctic backcountry, we'll face more dangers. Furious grizzlies, 1,500-pound moose, packs of flesh-craving wolves, wild-eyed wolverines, blood-addicted badgers, raging glacial rivers, violent whiteout snowstorms, sub-zero temperatures, hurricane-force winds, precipitous cliffs, deadly diseases with names like tularemia and hantavirus, swarming mosquitoes, swarming mice, swarming rats, the runs, the barfs, the bleeds. There might be a million ways to die in the West, but there are 2 million in the Alaskan backcountry. Our only way out? We'll trudge hundreds of miles across that rugged world until Brian picks us up in 33 days' time. Along the way, we'll be searching for a mythical herd of caribou, a migrating army of 400-pound ghosts that silently roam the Arctic tundra, their gnarled, 4-foot antlers emerging from the crystalline fog only to disappear when the wind shifts. The coming 5 weeks are an all-in proposition. Unlike, say, hiking the Pacific Crest or the Appalachian Trail, deep in the Alaskan backcountry, you can't decide you're too cold and hungry and wander a couple miles off-trail to a highway where you can Uber to the nearest diner for a hot cup of coffee and a stack of flapjacks. There are few, if any, trails. And the closest road, town, point of cell reception, and hospital can be hundreds of miles away. Hell, even death may not be a way out. My insurance policy, unfortunately, does not offer remotely located corpse recovery coverage. None of this sounds anything like my safe, comfortable life at home. And that's the point. Most people that they rarely step outside their comfort zones. We're living progressively sheltered, sterile, temperature-controlled, overfed, under-challenged, safety-netted lives. And it's limiting the degree to which we experience our one wild and precious life, as poet Mary Oliver put it. But a radical new body of evidence shows that people are at their best, physically harder, mentally tougher, and spiritually sounder, after experiencing the same discomforts that our early ancestors were exposed to every day. Scientists are finding that certain discomforts protect us from physical and psychological problems like obesity, heart disease, cancers, diabetes, depression, and anxiety, and even more fundamental issues like feeling a lack of meaning and purpose.